Psalm 118 is where we will be. The next chapter in your Bible, Psalm 119, and it is really the heart of the Scripture because it talks about one man's love for the most important thing, God's Word. People say, well, isn't God the most important thing? Shouldn't you love God? Yes. How do you show love for God? Well, He gave us His Word, and you can trust His Word. Loving God's Word is equated to loving Him. So I hope you love His Word, because we will spend time in His Word this morning, and this is where we'll get something that can help us. I can't tell you what can help you. I mean, I could, but it may or may not work. But if God tells you something, it'll help you. So the goal this morning is for all of us, and I'm at the top of the list here, to get some help from God's Word on a particular subject. So Psalm 118, let's go down to verse 14. 118 and verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. You notice how the letter S, there's a really good sermon that I won't preach today, although I'm sort of taking the sermon from this verse in a couple of points, but there's three words that begin with S. So let's see if we can point them out. The first one is, help me out, strength, and the Lord being the source. Also, the Lord being, what's the second one? Song. And the last one is salvation. So this morning we will park on that first one. The Lord is my strength. Along the way, I'll actually say a word about song and salvation. But let's ask the Lord to help us this morning. You're going to hear a message this morning with the Lord's help on spiritual strength. So let's pray. Lord, I just ask for your help this morning. We got a lot of folks here, and we sure are thankful that you brought them all here today. We all need your help, and I pray that we would glean from the Scriptures this morning help that we need about strength and where our strength should come from, obviously from you. And I just pray that folks who may be weak right now, whether it's in a physical weakness, emotional weakness, spiritual weakness, whatever it may be, that they would understand the source of strength being you, your words. And I just pray that you would make this message exactly what you desire and not what I want it. And I pray that all of us get a lot of help today from you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he says there, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Now, one thing about your Bible is the Lord has a tendency to repeat himself. If you're a parent here, you ever find yourself repeating yourself to your kids? Did that ever happen? Okay. We got the one with probably the youngest child here, and she says, oh yeah, my parents said the same things over and over and over, and they weren't, I got a head shake back there from one of the children, good. That's a good thing, because if your parents say something repeatedly, it must be important. If God says something multiple times, it also must be important. So let me show you something really neat here. Go to Exodus 15. This is where you just do a little Bible study of comparing one verse with another. And this is how you get what God really wants us to know. Go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And go down to verse 2, Exodus 15, verse 2. Actually, back up, we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So before I read verse 2, which is going to match what we read in Psalms, this is right after the Israelites were being chased by the Egyptians. You remember that? And here they are at the Red Sea. And the Israelites go across on dry ground safely. And what happens to the Egyptians? The Lord drowned them. So they have seen God's miraculous hand of deliverance at work. And look what Moses says here in verse 2. The Lord is my, there it is again, strength and song, and is become my, that's the same thing we saw in Psalm 118. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So I just want to show you, the Lord, this is the foundation of the message, the Lord is the greatest source of strength. Say that again. The Lord is the greatest source of strength. Now, can you think of any physically strong men in your Bible? I was hoping somebody would say that. Yes, Samson. So, you think about Samson, and we often envision him as this muscle-bound guy. I thought that for the longest time. He must have had big muscles. And then I saw somebody draw, this was not too long ago, I saw somebody draw a picture, and they said, that's probably what Samson looked like. He looked like a normal guy. A little puny, actually. And I think that's probably what he looked like, because where did his strength come from? The Lord. So I thought we'd start off this morning, before we get into the key points here, let's take a look at Samson and his strength. So go to Judges. Now, we were just mentioning before church, Jonathan said, if you look at what the Bible says about science, Judges 16 is where we're going. If you look at what the Bible says about science, God always has it right. And He has it right long before the scientists figure things out scientifically, which should prove to you that the Bible's true, right? So, I like fitness and working out and that kind of thing. So, a few years ago, I got to thinking to myself, I wonder if you could use the Bible as a manual for physical fitness. What do you think? I say yes. And this is another sermon. And I'll have to really work on putting all the things together that I've kind of found out over the last few years on that. But here's one that I came across. And I personally believe that the Bible is even ahead of modern day physical fitness, strength, and training methods. Let me prove it to you. This is so neat. Judges 16. Look at verse 1. Not this verse, by the way. I'll have to get to the verse. But 16, you know, Samson was a guy that had some problems, and you see that right off the bat. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. So here he is. He's been taken captive. Look what he does in verse 3. Here's the modern day strength and training methods that go way back to Samson. And Samson lay till midnight. And arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city, get this in your mind, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Do you know what he just did there? I looked up to see what the scholars say about how much weight that was. And you get anywhere from 800 pounds to a few thousand pounds. What did he do with the gates of the city, the two posts, and the bar? What did he do with them? He carried them uphill. He carried them uphill. So modern day strength and training methods, really popularized in recent years, carry heavy weights a great distance in some cases. Or, you want to make it really tough, carry heavy weights where? Up. You ever climb a mountain? Just going uphill is enough, right? You ever get on a stair stepper at the fitness club, something like that? That's hard. Now, add some weight to your back, you just made it a whole lot harder. So, I see him right there, way ahead of all the physical fitness experts of the day. He goes uphill with these bars, and I noticed there it mentions a bar and all. You know what the most popular usage, popular equipment for working out is today? You know what it's called? A barbell. I just read a book on basic barbell training. I'm trying to learn a few things about that. And notice it's the bar that he mentions there. I thought that was kind of neat. So there's some things about Samson where his physical strength is on display. Now, let's go to verse 4. And let's see what happens here. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And you see, just a little side note here, Samson had a problem with desire for women, didn't he? And it got him in trouble. He never would have been taken captive had it not been for verse 1 there, where he's looking in the wrong place. But let's see what happens in verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, now watch this, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So they want to know where his strength comes from, which again leads me to believe he did not have big muscles. Big muscles would be, that's where his strength came from. Here's probably a regular guy, may have been, like I said, a puny guy. And they're wondering, how is he so strong? So they even want to know, where does he get this strength? So look what happens here. Go down to verse 15. I'm saving some time here. Delilah tries a couple different ways to try to find out where his strength comes from. And he refuses to tell her. But then look what he finally gives into. Verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Ooh, notice this smooth-talking woman. We've got to watch out for them. Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So Samson's strength had to do with what, folks? Okay, I was hoping somebody would say that. His hair. Was it really about his hair? Yes and no. It actually had to do with a vow he made as a Nazarite. Numbers, I believe it's chapter 6, will tell you about this. A vow he made as a Nazarite to God concerning he would not cut his hair. So Samson is a whole lot like a lot of people today. He is more focused on things than the Lord. So he says, it came from my hair, the strength came from my hair. I understand there's a relationship there, but let's go on here, and I'll say more about that in a second. Go to verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and look what it says, his strength went from him. So yeah, the hair is connected, but there's something more going on here. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And watch this part. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So the strength Samson had came from the Lord. I know there's a connection there with the hair, but it came from the Lord. Samson's strength was not his long hair. It was from the Lord. And again, spiritual strength comes from this, first and foremost. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then continually relying on Him to supply you with the strength to endure the trials of this life. Did you catch that? Spiritual strength comes from Jesus Christ and only through Him. So the first thing that has to happen for you to access the strength that only comes from Jesus Christ is you got to know Him. You got to know Him as your Savior. I didn't say you need to know about Him. A lot of people know about Him, don't they? You need to know Him personally. And what I see with Samson is there was something missing personally between him and the Lord, and he had this thing tied up with his hair, and he really didn't know the Lord like he should have because his strength really did come from the Lord. Go over to Psalm 27, and this first point here is the salvation of the Lord is your strength, or at least it ought to be your strength. I hope that's you. Psalm 27, the salvation of the Lord is your strength. So we already saw Exodus, a connection with God's strength and salvation. We saw it in Psalm 118. Guess what? You're going to see the same thing right here. Look at 27, Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my, there it is, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let me stop and can we answer that question? If the Lord is your light and your salvation, who should you fear? You shouldn't have fear of anybody. You should fear the Lord, and if you have a fear of the Lord and you know the Lord, folks, you got nothing to be afraid of. Have you noticed how the world constantly is trying to scare you? We have a, I'm not going to call it a holiday, it's a day coming up here in a couple months where it's all about scaring people. And I know who's behind that. It's not the Lord. It's the devil. Now, I will say that you ought to be afraid of the Lord. You ought to have a fear of the Lord because He's the only one that can deliver you from the scariest place of all. That's hell. And only by knowing Jesus Christ will you escape hell. So look what it says the rest of the verse. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The answer is, if you know the Lord, you got nobody to be afraid of. Look what it says, verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Watch what it says here. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Anybody here had time of trouble recently? Folks, your strength was tested if you recently or have ever been through a time of trouble. Because you know what happens when you go through a tough time? You're going to ask somebody for help. And God allows you to go through difficult times so that you will ask Him for help. And it sometimes takes, we're hard-headed, all of us are to some degree, it sometimes takes the Lord putting you in a situation where you know there is nobody else and nothing else that can help you except the Lord. And when the Lord has you in that particular kind of situation, that's right where He wants you. Because He wants you to continually rely on His strength, knowing that your strength, you could never do it. So again, where's your strength coming from? Hopefully you can say, my strength comes from the Lord. Well, let's see about that. Go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This will kind of reiterate what I just said. Psalm 37, go down to the end of the chapter, verse 39. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their what? There it is again. Keep showing up. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Well, watch what it says, verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. How come? Because they trust in Him. Folks, the Bible tells you right there, the Lord will help you and deliver you, but what do you need to do? You need to trust Him. Think about this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, before that moment where you called on Him to save you, do you know who you belong to? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, spiritually speaking. The devil was your father, and he had you before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're saved. Think about this. I know the guys can probably say yes to this. You like a good wrestling match, Brother Phil? Yeah, I know, Brother Phil. Thanks, Neil. Yeah. You see two guys really going after it, and there's something to that. I don't know why us guys like that, but wrestling's in the Bible. We'll have to talk about that another time. Jacob wrestled the angel. Remember that? Some other things about wrestling in the Bible. But anyway, if... the moment before you got saved, before you called on Jesus Christ to save you, the devil had you, and he had you in a headlock. And you couldn't get out. You tried and tried and tried. Everything in your power. You try all that stuff. You could have all the martial arts moves you wanted. He's got you. And then, if you know the Lord, there came a time where you understood what He did for you, paying for your sins, rising again. And you knew that He could save you if you just trusted Him, and you called on Him, some way, shape, or form. You said, Lord, I need You to save me from hell. I know I deserve Your wrath, but I'm calling on You to save me. I know You paid the price for my sins. Will You save me? Probably said something like that. And if you said something like that, you know what happened? The Lord grabbed the devil and said, you're out of here. And He threw him off of you, and He said, this person belongs to me now. And the devil could say, well, hold on a second. That person belongs to me. And the Lord would say, nope. And you think about all the great boxing matches, wrestling matches, MMA fights, any of those things. The greatest fighter of all would be the Lord. And he's the only one that keeps the devil off of you, that can keep the devil off of you. Now, who's got you safe and secure today? Who's got you? I hope you can say the Lord does. If not, then the devil's got you. And if he hasn't got you, he's coming after you. Isn't it a great thing to know that if you know Jesus Christ, he's got you safe and secure always, forever, amen? He's always got you. Nobody, it doesn't matter what happens in this life, the devil can never get you back if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That ought to make you feel safe. You know the strongest person that's ever existed, and he's got you and will keep all the enemies away from you. Isn't that a comfort to know that if you know the Lord is your Savior? Now, some of you might relate to this if you go to the gym or been to the gym over the years. There's three different kinds of people at the gym, and I can actually relate to these just having gone to the gym. And I want to make a spiritual application with each of these. So the first kind of people that go to the gym is people who have zero idea what they're doing when they walk in there. And if you were following them around, it's kind of funny. And I've been there, done that, because there was a time where I didn't know anything or very little. You follow them around, and they'll go to this machine, and they'll look at it, and it'll take them 10 minutes to figure out how it works. And then they'll try to do it, and then they'll do a few repetitions, and then, let me go to another one. And they hop over here to this thing, and then they get on a treadmill for 3 minutes. 3 minutes, that's it. Then they get on the bike for 1 minute, and then they get on the stair stepper. That thing's 30 seconds, because that thing's hard. And they just kind of bounce around, and there's actually no intent, and there's nothing accomplished at all as far as really gaining any kind of fitness, because they keep bouncing around. And I got to thinking about that spiritually. There's a whole lot of people, and I think even more so in the last 5 or 10 years, so many people spiritually, they go to this church for a while, and they try this one out, and they try this one out, and they go over here, and they listen to this guy for a while, and they got no solid foundation from God's Word. And until you get planted firmly in God's Word and understand some basic things about the Christian life, you will be continually tossed to and fro. You know that? Same thing is true with these people who kind of bounce around the machines. Once somebody takes them aside and says, listen, what are your goals? What are you trying to do? Let me show you how to use this, this, and this. And you actually don't need to know a lot of different things to do this. Let's stick with the basics. And then you can get on the path to actually gaining some endurance and some strength and actually benefiting. So I'm not trying to say that you've got to come to this church. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of good churches in Brevard County. Fewer today than probably 10 years ago, I would say. But there's good churches. But hey, find a church, this is a good one, not the only one, a good one, where you're going to hear God's Word and you're going to get planted firmly in what God said above anything else. That's where you get really spiritually fit, is whenever you start to exercise yourself, like 1 Timothy says, unto godliness. That's how it works. You got to learn some things and understand how this works. So let me just give a little pitch for tonight. I've been taking Sunday nights to teach some basic things on how you study your Bible. These are things I learned a long time ago that I was at a place in my life where I was kind of tossed to and fro. And I was taken and taught these principles, and it put the tools in my pocket to help me where I could open my Bible with nobody around me and God, and I could learn some basic things from the Bible, just the Lord showing me. And when you learn some basic principles about your Bible, that's what it's for. So you can take God's Word and you can benefit. It's like the guy at the fitness center. Do you need a trainer? Yeah, for a time. Probably help you to have somebody show you a few things. And then that trainer will eventually say, hey, you're on your own. And you know enough to where you can start to figure out some things on your own. That's the way it is spiritually too. So it's the way God set that up. So there's the first kind of people. Those who kind of bounce around, don't know what they're doing. Then there's another group of people. These are funny people. Those who are more concerned about looking strong than being strong. These people at the fitness center will always be in front of the mirror. It's the funniest thing to watch these people. I'll be on the treadmill sometimes, just take a peek over there. It's the funniest thing. And they think that their muscles are going to grow while they're at the gym. I'm not kidding. Guy will do, he'll be doing bench press. And then he'll get up and go in front of the mirror, flexing all this stuff. It's the craziest thing. More concerned about how they look than actually getting strong. There's a lot of people like that. And spiritually, There's a lot of people like that too. They're more concerned about looking spiritual than being spiritual. They put on the show, and Sunday morning they're at their best. But if you saw them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'd think, who is that? That is not the same person I saw at church on Sunday. So is that you? I hope it's not, but it could be. You more concerned about how you look, or are you more concerned about the way the Lord looks at you? That's what you ought to be more concerned with. So there's the second kind of people. Now then you got the third kind of people. This is the kind of person you want to be if you go to the fitness center, but more importantly, spiritually. These are the people who go with a plan to the fitness center. They accomplish it and could care less what anybody else thinks. And I see these people sometimes, and there is a look in their eyes. They are determined, and you're not going to distract them, and you're not going to stop them. And those are the people that at the end of their workout, they leave, and they have benefited because they had a plan, they knew what they were doing, and they executed the plan. Now, you know what God would have you do? Get a plan. Get busy executing the plan, and then benefit from the plan. Learn some basics about Bible study. Get into the Bible yourself. Put those things into action and then repeat and just keep doing it over and over. And that's what God would have us do. So kind of interesting here, different people at the gym related to people who are saved as well, or spiritually speaking. So the first thing is the salvation of the Lord is your strength. And you don't need to answer out loud, but do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you can say yes, I mean, you know of a time where you called on Him to save you, then you can actually say, I have access to the greatest source of strength that is available to anybody, any place, anywhere. Amen? So there's the first thing. Now, second thing, go over to Nehemiah. I'm going to make you do a little work this morning. Go to Nehemiah, back up to the left from where you are. Nehemiah chapter 8. I love this particular chapter in the Bible. This is the chapter where Nehemiah gets all these Israelites together. They get all together, and here they are ready to listen. And it wasn't to listen to him preach. It was to listen to the law being read. And if you, I don't know if you've ever, I've never done this. Maybe you have. Have you ever taken Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and read it all at one time? I have never done that. I have maybe taken one of those books and read half of those books at one time. Those are long books. But that's a lot of reading, and that would take several hours. And if I read this right, it says that they took the book of the law and they read, and they read for a long time. I'll let you back up and read all the details here. But if you look at verse 8, here's what they did. 8:8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's a neat verse. They read. Somebody, actually there's a group of guys in verse 7 that gave the sense. You say, what does that mean? Does that make sense? You ever said that? These are the guys that made it clear with explanation what God said. All right? And then it says, cause them to understand. So you had these people that were hearing, they were getting the Bible explained to them, and they were understanding some things about what God said. And that's the way it should happen at church. Amen? When you come to church, you ought to hear it. God's Word read, you ought to hear it explained, and you ought to benefit from the understanding. Now, look at verse 9. Look what else happens. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, I've got to stop on that one. Think about this for a minute. Why were they weeping after hearing what God said? There's some sorrow for sin going on here. Folks, if you're never sorrowful about your sin, if there's never conviction on your heart about sin, you might not know the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is in you for many purposes. One of those is to convict you of sin for the purpose of you making that right with God. So that looks like what's going on there. Now look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Now here it is. For the joy of the Lord is your And this is another theme you see throughout your Bibles. Point number two, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have the salvation of the Lord being your strength. Here's the joy of the Lord being your strength. Go over to Psalm 21. You see this over and over. Psalm 21, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, we had a chance here a minute ago to sing a couple songs. And how you sing spiritual songs, whether you're here at church or at home, says a whole lot about how you stand with the Lord. And I'll tell you why. We sang a hymn, How Great Thou Art. I've heard that hymn hundreds of times, maybe in the thousands over the years, being in church for a long time. And some folks would say, that's an old hymn. We need to replace it with something better. Are you kidding me? That's right out of Revelation 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And it goes on and on. Receive glory and honor and power. Who's the greatest? The Lord God Almighty. Shouldn't He hear from us how great He is? When you sang that song today, if you sang it, you had an opportunity to sing that to the Lord, to tell Him how great He is. And when you tell Him how great He is, He gets the praise He deserves. As I said that, I could not help but think, what do men praise today? You know what they praise? Other men. What should come out of our mouth? We should be praising the Lord God Almighty. Any man who gets praise is only anything because the Lord gave him the ability to do that. That's it. I thank the Lord, here I am, I'm barely still in my 40s, and I can still run a decent distance and lift a decent amount of weight, and it's really tempting to say, yeah, I'm really getting strong. Yeah, I'm maintaining this strength. Yeah, I'm able to do this. And the Lord reminded me this morning as I went out, all I did today was walk, and He reminded me, hey, that step you just took, that's one of 6,000 steps you took today. After 3 miles, it was around there. Every single step you take, I gave you the ability to do that. I got reminded of that today. And because I like to look at how many steps I got. The other day I got over 20,000. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Every one of those 20,000, the only way I was able to take any of them, the only way you're able to take any of them, is because the Lord gave you the ability to do it. Amen? You got zero to do with this. Yeah, I'm getting strong. I'm taking care of my body. Come on. I know you have a role there. And you ought to be disciplined with taking care of yourself. Yeah, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. But God is the one that gives you that ability. Some of you in here are great intellectually. And you could write, you could read something and give all kinds of explanations about things. Brandon, the field of work he does, he says things and I have zero idea what he's talking about. This photonic stuff. He tries to connect it with the Bible and he does it, but it's way over my head. He's an intelligent guy. He'll be the first one to tell you, Brandon, how are you so smart? Sherry had him in class when he was in fifth grade. He's a really smart kid back then. How are you so smart? He'll be the first one to tell you, God gave me brains. God gave him the ability to do that. And that's the truth. So hopefully you can say whatever it is that God's given you the ability to do, it's God that gave you that, not you. It's God. So Psalm 21, look what it says here. Verse 1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. Notice the word joy connected with strength again. And then read the rest of it. And in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. A person who relies on God's strength will rejoice in the Lord. Now, you don't need to answer this out loud, but do you rejoice in the Lord when you're not at church? There's a good test. Do you rejoice in the Lord when you get cut off in traffic? That's a hard one, isn't it? Do you rejoice in the Lord when something happens at your job and you just absolutely mess something up royally? That happens to me quite often. Do you rejoice? Is that usually the first thing you say? Praise God! It's not. But here's what those things should remind you. Those things should remind you that you are nothing. You have no strength of your own. It's God who gives you strength. And in those situations where you get upset, you got to say, Lord, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose it completely here. My testimony, you got to take over. Please give me the strength to not say what I want to say, to not do what I want to do, because if I do that, I'm going to ruin things and make it even much worse. Go to Psalm 81. How about another one? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where is your strength coming from? Psalm 81. This theme of strength and joy over and over. Here it is again. Psalm 81:1. Sing. There it is again about singing. Sing aloud. Unto who? Unto God our strength. And then watch this. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Now listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a very good singer. And some people have told me, you sing really loud. And I don't care. I will tell you, the longer I sing loud, the better I get. And that's no joke. That's true about anything. The more you do something, the better you get at it, right? Now, I don't have a great voice. I'll be the first one to tell you a singing voice is not there. But I think I sing better than I used to because I just kept singing. I got an agreement from my wife, so she must be safe. I used to, it's funny, I was at the camp this summer. This is pretty funny. The guy who does the drama and the music there, and this guy's not saved. He's a Jewish guy, not saved. Well, he wanted my deep voice to do this little short 10-second thing in one of their plays. And so I sing it for him. The party wanted me to sing. And he goes, oh, man, I love that deep voice. So then I did it during the play. And after the play, he goes, man, that was better than when you did it before. And I thought, how does this happen? The only place I really sing a lot is either when nobody's around or at church. So there's something to that. My point is this. It does not matter how you sound. It doesn't. And I have heard church people pick apart other church people. That person, you know, that person can't sing. At least they're singing. Right? So don't be concerned. What are you trying to please? Pastor nailed it in Sunday school if you weren't here. Who are you trying to please? Men? Trying to please other people? Or are you trying to please God? If you're singing to the Lord, you don't care what anybody else thinks. There's a lady at a church that Sharon and I used to go to. She's in the choir, and she did not sound good. I mean, it was rough. At least she's in the choir, and at least she's singing. Amen? And people used to say, man, that lady, get her out of the choir. Hey, why don't you get up there and sing? Are you a better singer than her? Then why aren't you up there? Folks, sing to the Lord. What kind of noise does it say to make? It doesn't say make a melodic noise. It doesn't even say make a beautiful noise. It says make a joyful noise. You can do that. You got a voice? You can do that. So I didn't mean to get off on all that, but somebody needed to hear that. Hey, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is far better than any, I'm going to put this in quotation marks, joy the world offers you. Because they don't offer you joy. At Christmas time, we sing joy to the world. And a lot of people that know nothing about the Lord sing that song. Well, let's keep singing it. Joy to the world. What's it say? The Lord has come. Has He been here? Is He coming back? See, there's something to sing about joy that is directly connected with the Lord. This world offers nothing but temporary, and I'm going to put in quotation marks, joy, because it's not really joy. Real joy only comes from God. Last thing here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. The joy of the Lord is far better than anything this world could offer you. Why would you continually, or anybody continually, refuse it? I don't know. 2 Corinthians 12, we'll get this last name. The strength of the Lord is your salvation, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's see what the third one is here. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. Now this book, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul wrote it, and he actually wrote it to sort of prove to these people in Corinth that they could trust him, that he actually did have something from God that was worth hearing. In fact, if you look at verse 1, he says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So Paul gloried in the fact that, hey, I got a word from God. And that's not the only thing. I'm giving this word from God to you. Now, if he'd gone around bragging about, I got a word from the Lord, like a lot of these charismatics do today, that'd have been wrong. He said, I got something from the Lord, and you need it. I needed it, and you need it just as much. So if you go on down to verse 7, look what he says here. This is where things get kind of strange, but let's read it, and then I'll do the best I can, again, with the Lord's strength to explain this. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Folks, there's that thorn in the flesh mentioned there. And there's a lot of speculation about what that was, and I'm not 100% certain, but there was some problem that Paul had, and it was physical. And he actually, in verse 8, you'll see he asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, nope. You say, why would God do that? Why would God allow a person to have some kind of ailment and refuse to take it away? Is God being mean? No. Watch what happens here in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect when? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I what? That's a paradox. I'm weak. I'm strong. You can't be both at the same time, can you? Folks, what Paul experienced, God gave him a physical weakness and refused to take it away, so that he would continually have to say, Lord, you got to help me again. Oh, I still got it, Lord. I got this thorn in the flesh. Will you help me again today? Oh, okay, the next day it still hadn't gone away. Lord, you're not going to take this thing away. Will you help me again today? What happened is, in spite of having a weakness, Paul was strong because people had to look at him and say, that guy is nothing special, but man, he can preach and he can teach. And they had to go away saying, that guy is a living testimony of the power of God, not the power of Paul. In fact, they say the word Paul means little one. Paul could have been this little short little guy. And here he is going around, who's this guy? Who's he gonna? What's he going to say to me? And when he opened his mouth, people couldn't, they couldn't say anything in return. That guy's got the power of God on him. 1 Corinthians 1 is all about this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 all about Paul and God's power being all over him. So the longer you serve the Lord, the more you need to rely on Him. Did you catch that? Here's what we tend to do. You get saved, you get along a little while, and you think, I'll be okay. Folks, the longer you serve the Lord, the more you need to rely on Him. It's easy to say, I got confidence in this, that, and the other thing. I've been saved a while, and that's a really dangerous place to be. You got to continually trust in the Lord the longer you're saved. So in the verse there, it says, if you back up to verse 9, he says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So the last point here, we had the salvation of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's the last one. The grace of the Lord is your strength. Now, have you experienced God's grace? Now, here's what grace is. Grace would be this. If I had a $100 bill in my pocket and I hand it to Brother John, I say, hey, Brother John, this is a gift from me to you. And he goes, well, what did I do to deserve this? What would be my answer? Nothing. I'm giving him something good. I want nothing in return. He did nothing to earn it. You know what that is? That's grace. What has God given you that you did not earn, and you certainly, and I certainly, do not deserve? He just gave it to you because he decided to be good and gracious towards you. You know what he gave you? He gave eternal life through Jesus Christ, if you know him. He forgave all of your sins. And I know we got some big sinners in here. You say, who are you talking about? Everybody. I'll raise my hand. Yeah. Folks, if we went around the room and we all knew each other's sins, you'd probably never come back to church. I don't want to be around that person again. Really? Folks, Jesus Christ is in the business of saving people from their sins, taking all those sinful things, taking His blood and going, it's gone. That's how He works. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from what? Help me out. You know the verse, 1 John 1? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from what? All sin. Is there a sin God won't forgive? Hey, you don't deserve, I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, He took all your sins and they're gone. Washed them away. You know what else He did? He gave you an eternal home in heaven where there's streets made out of pure gold, where there is nothing but praise, honor, and glory going to God. It's a perfect place. I know you live in America and it's a great place, but it's not a perfect place. Far from it. Heaven's a perfect place. Amen? If you know the Lord, that's where you're going. Hey, that's God's grace. Have you experienced God's grace? The grace of the Lord is your strength. Let me show you another one on this. Go to Philippians 4. You know this passage. A couple of verses here that are close here from one another. Philippians 4. I won't read the context. Context, we had learned about that last Sunday night. I won't read the context, but the context is all about going through difficult times. And if you look at verse 11, you get a little bit of that. Paul says, hey, whatsoever state I am, I've learned to be content. So the context is difficulty, trusting God anyway. And then you get to verse 13, which is probably one of the most misapplied verses maybe in the history of Christianity. But let's get it in its context. He says, verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So context, going through some hard times. Verse 13, I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I've heard people go off and say, yeah, you can do all these things through Christ, and that there's truth to it. But folks, you're not going to leap off a tall building through Christ and survive. You're not. You're not going to get on the bench and bench press 500 pounds through Christ unless you've trained. You're just not. So understand that when you go through difficulty, you can endure only through Christ. And here's what happens. It says, Christ which strengtheneth me, God gives you the strength to get through those times only through Jesus Christ and only through you trusting Him through those times. That's how that works. So don't think, oh, because I've heard kids say it and I've heard this misapplied where, oh, I can do anything I want through Christ. You better be careful there. You know, if God wants you to do something and you know that He wants you to do something and it lines up with His Word, you can do it through Christ. But be careful about misapplying that. But I wanted to show you that strength comes through Jesus Christ. Now, how about more on grace here? Go over to 2 Timothy 2. We'll end up here. Back to the right. You got Philippians, Colossians, and you got 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and then 1st Timothy. Go to 2nd Timothy. The grace of the Lord is to be your strength. 2nd Timothy 2:1. 2nd Timothy 2:1. Look what it says here. Great verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you go down to verse 3, after saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How are you going to endure the hard things of this life? You're not. You're not by yourself. The only way you're going to do it is to rely on the strength and grace that only comes through Jesus Christ. A guy a lot smarter than me said this, a theologian of the past, he said, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. That's our desires. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around thinking about what we want, ambition. When God offers us infinite joy, and what we do is this, like a child, an ignorant child, he says, who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum. because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And the guy's just going on talking about, we have our eyes in all the wrong places. And our eyes ought to be, first and foremost, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he offers you something that nobody in this world can offer you. If you got a job offer today, said, hey, you're going to be making $2 million a year. God offers you something way better than that. Because money comes and goes, doesn't it? You got eternal life through Jesus Christ, you're never losing that. You got joy that comes through Jesus Christ, you're never losing that. You got strength that comes through Jesus Christ, you can never take that away. So, Ephesians 6, I didn't have time to get over there, but it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. David said in 2 Samuel 22, God is my strength and power. I'll just close with this today. Who's your source of strength and power? Who's been giving you the ability to endure what you went through the last week? What you're going to go through this week. What is your source of strength? If your answer is anybody or anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ, you are weak. And you can't do it on your own. Why not today trust the Lord? Whether that be you need to be saved because you've never been saved. Or maybe it's time to say, yep, I've been trying this on my own far too long. I'm done with it. I'm going to give this to the Lord and let Him take it because I keep making a mess of things. You ever been there? Hey, stop being there. Stop making a mess of things. Say, Lord, I can't do this. You can do this. I'm weak, Lord. You're strong. Please take this. Maybe you need to spend a little time this morning at the altar just, hey, asking the Lord for some strength to get through whatever you're going through right now. Or whatever may be coming, because something's coming sooner or later. You're going to need the Lord and His strength. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for Your words. Thank You for how they are always encouraging to us. Thank You that You care about us and the little things that we endure in this life that are a big deal to us. You care about all of them. And if there's anybody here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray today they would call on Jesus Christ to save them. Stop putting it off. Give them the understanding. Give them the just all that they need to drop everything else and just completely trust You. I pray for folks who are saved that maybe they've been trying too long to do things on their own. And I pray that they would just drop all those things and all those responsibilities and say, You take them, Lord, instead of trying to take them themselves. Help us today to be obedient people to You. Help us today to stop trusting ourselves and to trust You above all. And I just pray for all of us to just respond to what You have for us today. If it's not right now, we would do it sometime today and really make things right. And we just pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.